You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Just win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team. Just every win. Day. Just
win. The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q. You can catch me on Twitter at your boy Q254. A lot of you folks have. I really appreciate everyone who reaches out whenever you get the opportunity to reach out and just say, what's up? Share your thoughts on the team. Share your thoughts on whatever's going on. It is all good. Definitely appreciate everyone sharing the word about the podcast. And, you know, we're going to keep this thing rolling. Again, if you have not subscribed already to the Locked On Raiders podcast on iTunes, it'd be appreciated if you do that. And again, tell your friends, hey, check out Locked On Raider podcast. And we have a lot of fun on it. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do that today. I've been telling you that I have a lot of phone calls on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, and I'm going to get to a bunch of them today. I really am going to drop about two or three every segment in today's episode just to try to, get everyone's thoughts out. Because again, man, if you go ahead and take the time at 707-654-4693, 707-654-4693, to call me and share your thoughts on the team, share your thoughts on the game, share your thoughts on anything going on surrounding the team, or just say, hey, what's up? Appreciate the podcast. Or hey, what's up? I don't like the podcast. It is all good. There is no call that's a bad call. So if you're going to go ahead and take that time to reach out to me, I'm definitely going to take the time to run it back on the podcast. So today we're going to hear from my man Brian Nichols in London, Ontario, and Richard from the 510. Actually, he's headed to London for the game against Seattle. So let's get this thing started. Again, Raider Podcast voicemail line is 707-654-4693. And again, we're going to start things off with Brian Nichols out of London, Ontario.
Hey, it's Brian Nichols, London, Ontario. Just wanted to call you, try to be quick about this. Just listen to your last podcast. With both kind of sum up the season so far and what I'm expecting and what I'd like to see from the Raiders. Offense-wise, I'm actually still not quite worried about I'm not worried yet about the offense. It's kind of where I thought it would be. John Gruden's been out for a while. So I thought at least the first half of the season wasn't going to be awesome. Because, you know, the curriculum's there, but, you know, you can have the curriculum, but teaching it is and getting it kind of done on the during game time with game flow and stuff like that. It's going to take a few games, more than a few games. I was thinking, you know, 8 games, and you would start to see them turn around. So their record is actually not far off of where I thought. I think they're basically only one win shot or one. They're only. I thought they'd only have one more win than they do right now on the Miami game, I thought. I figured that they would split in the division with interdivision play with San Diego and Denver, losing the road games to both those teams. So that I'm not surprised at. Now, how they've lost these games has been ugly. That's true. But I think that's more defense than anything else. So the offense just trying to kind of where I look at the offense is I like to compare it to 2015 for both them and actually the Atlanta Falcons. And why I say the Atlanta Falcons is because I've always thought that Derek Carr's ceiling, although people like to talk about him, compare him to Aaron Rodgers and stuff like that, he's never going to whip that sort of play. I've always thought of him as more of a Matt Ryan. And in 2015 was Kyle Shanahan's first season with the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn's first season. And that's where they were learning a new, pretty intricate offense. Matt Ryan threw, I believe, 16, I think 17 interceptions that year. They lost 8 of their last 11 games, you know, and it looked ugly, and people were getting on Matt Ryan and everything, thinking, wondering if he was the one. And then 2016, in the second year, he came out guns blazing. Well, you could probably say the same for Derek Carr. Threw 13 interceptions in 2015. People were like, eh, you know, he showed some potential there, but I'm still holding out hope on the offense. John Gruden getting used to calling plays during game situations, situational football, and Derek Carr getting into the system and comfortable with it and finding what works best in that system for him and everything. So that's kind of my thing now. The thing that surprised me the most, I would say, is how bad the defense is. I think that's where our issues are. How bad the defense is and how bad, and special teams. That's leaving the offense in kind of bad positions and everything. So I'd like to see them. This is a building of the team. So rebuild, reset, re-whatever. They're just building the team right now. So in that case, we really need to settle on who's playing where and that, and get rid of some of these old guys. And I don't mind you being older if you're still fast. So what I'd like to see as a secondary is leave Connolly in there. He's a DB. He's going to make mistakes. That's how they learn. Daryl Worley on the other side, he's a young guy. I'd like to see him play the other corner spot. And if you need to bring a guy in, bring in Melvin. I get what he's being paid, but I don't care about that. And I'd like to see Nelson in, learning the system and learning to play as opposed to Hall. Move DRC, who's older, but is a good tackler and still got speed, to safety, and get Carl Joseph when he's in there, when he's healthy, back in there. He is by far our best tackling defensive back. Linebackers, I'd like to see Morrow, Lee, and move Bruce Irvin back to where he used to be, the strong linebacker, strong side, the Sam linebacker position, and just keep guys where they are, and then the defensive line is pretty much how it is. I'd like Fidel Brown, Arden Key, you know, rotating in and out, and then, you know, the young guys on the defensive tackles. I don't mind those guys being there. I don't mind the defensive line. I think they'll get better pressure if we have better coverage and stuff like that. But anyways, that's my call. Sorry for being long. Take care. Go Raiders, eventually.
So there's my man Brian right there. He's giving his thoughts on where the team is. The offense, not too worried about it. And really, it's funny, talking about the record of the Raiders right now, sitting at 1-4, he kind of expected a record similar to where they're at. Now, obviously, he didn't expect the ugly losses the way that they came, but still didn't expect a whole lot. He also brought up 2015. You know, and said that Derek Carr's ceiling is similar to Matt Ryan. Not Aaron Rodgers, but Matt Ryan. And that's interesting. That's interesting. So that could be, you know, Matt Ryan, he had a lot of struggles. Matter of fact, I remember when Matt Ryan got a big contract extension, and then people in Atlanta were wondering, is this going to be the guy, man? He can't get it done. Well, then he turned in an MVP season, ended up in the Super Bowl and should have won that thing, but didn't. So, Brian's got a lot of good thoughts right there. Of course, good thoughts on Derek Carr and the comparison with Matty Ice. I kind of like that. I hadn't thought about that one, really. I really hadn't. So I kind of like that one. And of course, he's not very happy about how the defense is. Biggest surprise, how bad the defense is. And, yeah, I think a lot of us, fans are very upset by what we're seeing from the defense. You know, not the whole game, because at points of the game, we'll say, man, the defense is looking good. Man, the defense came to play today. And then all of a sudden, boom, bang, nothing, and giving up a bunch of points. And it's a wrap on that. So, Brian, definitely appreciate that call. Always love to hear from you. My man Richard from the 510 and actually on 580, headed to the airport as he makes this call.
Hey, Q, this is Richard. I'm calling from the 580. I'm en route to the Oakland airport. I'm going to watch my boys, the Raiders, play this weekend in London. I just wanted to call the show, not to brag, but just to say thank you for keeping it lively, keeping the podcast fun every day. You know, I do appreciate it. You know, the team does suck right now, so that is a hard thing to do. But reality also sucks a lot of times, so oftentimes the Raiders are just an escape. And so I appreciate you being on the same wavelength there. So thanks for that. Now, my question had to do with Gary Conley. And I was listening to your podcast today, and you brought up not the awesome law. And the thought occurred to me that when the Oakland had Nandi, Al Davis had him on the quarterback's left-hand side. He was on the right-hand side of the defense. And it seemed like that was where he should be. And when he tried to do more than that, when he went to Philly, he was a disaster. You know, my question comes back to Gary Conley in the present day. Is he capable of doing more? You know, because it appeared like he's also playing to the quarterback's right-hand side, or the quarterback's left-hand side, the blind side there, like Nandi used to. That's what I've been noticing. I could be wrong about that. So is he capable of switching to the other side? It seems like that's where Melvin's at. And, you know, taking snaps from Melvin, because it seems like it's either going to be Worley or Conley. And it seems like Worley's just a better football player right now than Conley. But Melvin doesn't have the same tool set as those two other guys, Conley and Worley. So just want to get your thoughts on that, man. Thank you. And, again, appreciate you, all you do.
I thought that was really cool. Definitely appreciate that call from my man Richard, who was actually riding on the highway on 580 on his way to the Oakland airport. And I've made that trip many, many times, so I know exactly where he was. I always rather ride on 580 because 580 always seemed like a lot smoother ride than 880. That's just my personal way to avoid traffic. But he did have a question on Gary and Conley and talking about how Nnamdi always just held down one side of the field and, you know, another defensive back would always hold down another side of the field, and basically comparing him to, Gary and Conley. Is that what he's going to be? Is it the kind of guy he's going to be where he just holds down one side of the field, or is he going to be a guy that can, you know, fill different roles? And I think that he's probably going to fill different roles, but still on one side of the field, if that makes any sense. I feel like he's probably going to be on the left side, but he'll either go in the slot. I think he has the ability to go into the slot, or he'll be on the outside. But more than likely, we'll probably see him on the outside. And I think a lot of teams are doing that now. I remember at one time, it was like the Raiders were one of the few teams that just had, you know, a left cornerback and a right cornerback, and that's just what it was. They didn't have guys that shadowed guys or traveled with guys. Now you kind of see it all over the league. You see it a lot. So I think that that's probably what's going to happen. And I think that Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator, is actually still trying to find pieces that fit as far as those, you know, those corners go. And you heard on the podcast on Wednesday, right before the crossover interview, that that's what he's doing. You know, he's looking for guys that fit. He wants two corners, but he wants to see two guys. Maybe that ends up being Conley and Worley. Who knows? You know, maybe that becomes Rashawn Melvin and Darryl Worley. Who knows? It's one of those situations. I mentioned it on Wednesday's show that, you know, it's trying to see who's game ready, but they're doing it in game time. So again, it's basically 16 preseason games. I mean, that's basically what it is. It's basically 16 preseason games where you can kind of see what this team is going to be. And then, all right, at some point we have it figured out and now we can move forward. So that's just what it is. So it's going to be a good question. I'm really interested in seeing how the maturation of Gary and Conley comes along, because he's a guy that was taken in the first round. You know, even though a lot of people criticize it, including myself, taken in the first round, and let's see what he turns into, if he turns into something. You know, I'd hate to see another wasted draft pick. I mean, you look up and down the damn roster, there's not too many draft picks from the Reggie McKenzie era still on the team. It's just not. You know, there really isn't. So things aren't looking really good as far as draft, and it doesn't give you a lot of hope that, oh, well, you know, the next few drafts are going to be even a lot better. I mean, you just don't know. You got to get something out of these guys. So I'd love to see Gary and Conley turn into someone really, really special and be a big-time shutdown corner, but we haven't seen it yet. And as of last week, he only had 13 defensive snaps. So definitely want to see him improve in that area. So, Richard, thank you for your call. Brian Nichols, London, Ontario, appreciate that call. Coming up in segment number two, we're going to keep this thing rolling. Calls off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. Before that, though, I'm going to tell you about swap.com. And you know, it's crazy how much we pay for new, brand new clothes, right? We pay a lot of money. Why do we buy our kids clothes when you know they outgrow them so quick? I mean, I can go buy my kids something to wear, and then they'll wear it one or two times, and then boom, oh, it doesn't fit anymore. I need something new. Are you serious? Why? Well, check this out. Wouldn't it be great if there's a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, the good news is there is. It's called swap.com. They are the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. You can stop driving to store after store and sifting through racks. I don't like to do that either. I just don't. That's not my style. You can easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com. They have easy to use filters to find just what you need. So go ahead and make that happen, man. And right now they have a special offer for our Locked On Raider podcast listeners. You can get 35% off select items for your first order if you use the promo code Locked On. Plus, find new deals every day on swap.com's homepage. Do it now. All right, check it out. Segment number two is coming up next.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, Raider Nation, to the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q, and we're having a little bit of fun today. Little sound off edition where you get to hear calls off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. So enough of me and more of you. Here is Vader Raider in the 303, my guy.
What's up, Q? It's your boy Vader Raider in the 303 behind enemy lines. Coming at you on a cold, dingy afternoon. And, you know, in answer to your question today you posed, if not Carr, who? Well, I don't think we have an answer to that. And I don't think we're going to get that answer anytime soon. I want to throw a couple numbers out to you and the nation, see what you think. The number 26 and the number 27. So first, the number 26. That would be the expiring contracts that are coming up here at the end of the season. And I don't know about Raider Nation, but, you know, that's 26 contracts and i.e. 26 bodies that we're going to have to try and fill if we can't sign some of those guys. And also, it might have been a look into the future if we had kind of not been blindsided by the whole age 52 thing. We probably would have recognized that, hey, wait a minute, they're not really planning for this year. They're kind of planning for the future. They're going to have this many expiring contract. Secondly, the number 27, that's how many games that Derek Carr is going to have to show not only John Gruden, the coaching staff, but we, the nation, if he can be the quarterback of this team. And quite honestly, Q, the Raiders are going to get a pass this year. I mean, I hate to say it, you know, the nation is very exact about this. Nobody gets a pass. If you fail this organization and you fail this fan base, the greatest fan base in the NFL, I might add. You know, you walk the plank. I'm sorry, but that's how we are. We want blood. We don't just want you fired or let go or released or traded. We want you fought. We want blood. We want blood for what we gave you for not giving us anything back. So, got to say this, Q. You know, this is really an offense and defense that's going to get a pass the entire year because they're learning something new. And quite frankly, it stinks. I'm not going to lie. The fact that these guys are learning something new and the fact that, like you said today, and, you know, or like, I'm sorry, Coach Gruden said today, you know, we started 8 rookies last week. That's an incredible number. So, you know, like we've been saying all along, my expectations are low. I don't know if we can get this win in Seattle. I really doubt it, but we'll see. You know, who knows? Play here, play there. You know, maybe the progression a little bit. Maybe Derek's learned a few things. Anyway, I had something else I wanted to tell you, and I kind of wanted to see what the nation thought about this. So how come Paul Gunther in all of this seems to be getting off scot-free? Because, you know, I don't know about you, but all the hatred and all the venom, if you will, seems to be coming at John Gruden and Derek Carr. And my only question is how is it that you don't hear about Paul Gunther being thrown under the bus, or you don't hear about, you know, maybe he's not, you know, doing what he's supposed to be doing? I mean, I think that Paul Gunther should share part of the blame. I mean, unless he's saying that he absolutely doesn't have the talent for this football team. Either way, you know, I really think that, you know, and also I realize, too, that Greg Olsen doesn't call plays, but Greg Olsen certainly is in there, you know, and could maybe override a play or two if he sees it. Maybe he can say something to Gruden and say, hey, maybe we should run that. Maybe we should run this. You know, so I don't hear Coach Olsen or I don't hear Paul Gunther's name, you know, thrown around in any of this 1-4 start, this disaster, this you know, dumpster fire that seems to be, you know, on the horizon. So let me know what you think, Q. Vader Raider, out.
Okay, so Vader Raider started to reference my podcast that I did when I said, if not Carr, then who? You know, he said there's no answer to that. There's no answer to that right now. And he threw out a couple numbers. And I like how Vader Raider broke this down. I really did. Thought this was a great call, man. 26 expiring contracts coming up. All right. The Raiders are going to have to fill 26 spots. They got 26 expiring contracts. Who's going to be here? Who's not going to be here next year is going to be the question. And that's obviously a huge question with those 26 expiring contracts. And, I'll tell you right now, most of the guys that are the veterans, most of the guys brought in on a 1 year deal this year by Chucky probably will not be around next year. And that's fine. That is not a big deal. But the other number that I liked was a 27 games to find out Derek Carr is the guy. So that's the rest of this season. And obviously all of next season, that'll equal your 27 games right there. And then at that point, you could say, okay, he's either going to be the quarterback moving forward for many, many years, or he's not the guy. You know, he's just a mediocre guy. I think that that's fair. I mean, I know that Raider Nation is not going to want to hear that. 27 games, 27 more games when you already know that he's in his fifth year of his, well, of his career. Again, I mean, this is a new coaching staff, a new system. There's new things. Gruden wants him to do things his way. So this is what it is, man. It's almost like a retraining, a rebooting, a resetting, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's that reword again, you know? So, yeah, that's a really great way to break it down, Vader Raider. I really like that. He said the Raiders are going to get a pass this year, and I talked about it in great length yesterday. It's a mulligan year. It's absolutely a mulligan year. And then the other thing he was talking about was Paul Gunther not getting ripped, just Derek Carr and John Gruden, and basically Paul Gunther getting away scot-free. And I really kind of don't think he is getting away scot-free. I think a lot of people are talking bad about the defense, but I think a lot of people are also talking about the defense as, well, it's rebuilding the defense, trying to figure out who fits on the defense. I mean, something that we've been talking about for the past couple of days. So I don't really think that Gunther is getting a pass. I think that, you know, there's moments where the defense is looking good and then either they get gassed or else they just look old and slow, you know, and there's a lot of tinkering going on. So I just think that they just don't know who fits. I don't think that it's really Gunther getting a pass. I just think that they don't know who can do what and who can succeed. And, you know, plus, I think he was given a pass the minute that Agent 52 got traded. I think that they gave him a pass immediately. It's like, okay, we know you don't have the best player that was on the team. We know that. So you go ahead and figure out how this defense is going to work, and we're going to get it there. So I think that's another reason why nobody's really coming down hard on him. But I understand what you're saying, Vader Raider. Definitely understand that one. So the next call comes from my man Monster Mash in the NYC.
Yo, Q, it's Monster Mash from New York. Oh, my God, what a horrible game. That was probably the worst game of the season. You know, the Rams game, at least we competed, and Carr threw up some ducks, but this game was just no, I don't know what happened. Maybe the guy stayed out in Hollywood too long, but I don't know. And you know me, man, I always try to keep it positive and try to build this team, but I am with down in the dumps, you know, and it sucks, and it's a tough pill to swallow, but I choose to invest in the team. I choose to cheer for this team, and I stand by the black and silver. And it's a hard road. It's been a hard road with very few winning seasons. But you know what? That's just my team, and it sucks. And I like Carr. I'm going to stand by Carr no matter what. It is questionable. And some, you're on the 1 yard line, 2 yard line. You got the beast mode behind you on first down, and you don't go to him. That's really questionable. I don't know if that's on Carr or Gruden or what. But what a horrible call, and that kind of just set the tone. With the interception. And then just everybody else, like, I don't know. I mean, I know we didn't have the two right, the tackles and the left tackle, you know, he's still a rookie. Colton was doing all right, but this game, he just wasn't there. And Brandon Parker just did not look comfortable. And, you know, with the penalties after penalties and sacks and Osemele not being there really hurt us. Just Marshawn, you can just tell he did not have the same kind of game that, you know, with having Osemele there. Anyway, I can dice it up, you know, a thousand ways till Sunday, but it is what it is. You know, we got our asses whipped and handed to us, and you know what? We got smacked in the face all season, and it is starting to look like who's coming out in the draft. Do we go offense? Do we go defense? One thing that I wanted to throw out there was Cooper. What the hell? He just disappeared again? Like, what is going on out there? I don't know. Maybe we just let him go, trade him, try to get something out of him, you know, and instead of re-signing him, because he's just inconsistent, and it sucks, and the whole team suffers, and Carr suffers, and I don't know. Jordy Nelson outperforming him, and Martavis almost broke one out there. He's got to hold on to that ball. That could have been a touchdown, I think. You know, he has some blazing speed. He had a decent game other than that drop. And anyway, I can go on and on. Love my boys, black and silver for life. Keep it positive out there, all right? Let's roll with the punches and let's see what happens. All right, take care. Bye.
So talking about that Charger game, worst game of the season, has no idea what happened in that game. And I'll tell you, man, a lot of the fans don't. A lot of us watching the game was like, what in the world just happened? That was an absolute complete no-show. That's why I was so upset on Monday. It was just like a complete no-show, not a loss, but a no-show. Those are the ones that are so, so tough. But just like, you know, just like the rest of us, he still stands by the silver and black and will stand by Derek Carr. And again, I think you guys know my feelings on it. I've been harsh on Carr. I want to see the most out of him. But at the same time, I do still think he's the guy moving forward. And so I'm standing by him as well. We don't really even have to rehash not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the 1 yard line, do we? No, that's kind of on Gruden and on Carr, not one guy in particular. And John Gruden doubled down and said he'll call that play again. He'll call a pass play at the 1 yard line again. I hope he doesn't, but that's what he said. And, you know, Monster Mash also addressed the O-line looking rough. You know, they are looking rough because they're all banged up. You know, hopefully Assembly comes back this week. But still, I mean, Colton Miller's out there with a sprained MCL. He's out there playing. Brandon Parker's out there playing because Donald Penn is on IR. I mean, it's just, I'm telling you, everything has come crashing down really, really quickly on the team that was not expected. I mean, did they expect to have to go through as many kickers as they had to go through? I mean, they basically put their whole special team units on IR already. They've had three field goal kickers? I mean, that's unheard of. You just don't think you're going to go through that many kickers in one season. So, there's been a lot of injuries that have slowed this team down as well. So, you know, they're just going to have to get right and get healthy. But Monster Mash, definitely appreciate that call. All right, coming up, segment number three, the final segment of today's episode of the Locked On Raider podcast. Got three more calls going to get to, and we're going to do that next.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, welcome back into the Locked On Raiders podcast. This is the final episode of Thursday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Having a little bit of fun, a little sound off edition, hearing calls off the Raiders podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. And I'm not even going to say anything else about it. Going to jump right into it. My man, P.E. in North Carolina.
What's going on, Q? P.E. from North Carolina. Checking in with you one more time. Man, that's a terrible loss right there. But we all know that. But I tell you what, Q, I put this whole season, this whole terrible, miserable season on John Gruden's shoulders. It didn't have to be this way, man. It didn't. Our roster was not as bad as he made it seem. You know, we got a rookie left tackle. Now we got a rookie right tackle. It didn't have to be that way. You could have left Donald Penn at left. You could have went out and got a veteran right tackle. You got veterans everywhere else on defense. You could have got some veteran guys to come in. They might not have been that much better, but I'm pretty sure it would have been better than playing two rookies, you know? I mean, this whole season, man, it's just it's the arrogance of one coach thinking he knows more than everybody else. You know what I mean? Thinking his system is so great that he doesn't need his best players. All he needs is him and his quarterback, and he can make it work. And clearly we see he can't make it work. It might work out in time, but, you know, this season right here, man, I blame it on Gruden. It's all on Gruden because it just is. He dismantled this whole team. He took us from a contender to a team that is struggling. It looks bad out there, Q. It reminds me of back when Lane Kiffin was the coach or Art Shell or Mike White or anybody back in the day where we struggled to compete in a game, Q. To make a first down. I mean, is San Diego that much better than us? Are any of these teams that much better than us? So, like I said, man, it's all on Gruden. This season is a wash. It's over. We'll see what he's going to do, but I think he's got too much control. Gruden is not the smartest man in the world. You can go back and look at Tampa Bay. They, you know, he got fired from Tampa Bay, so, and he had total control there. His roster wasn't great there. So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens next year, man. Peace out, Raider Nation.
All right, so P.E., you know, he always brings it, man. He doesn't pull no punches, man, and he's talking about that loss was terrible. The whole season on John Gruden's shoulders. He didn't feel like the roster was that bad and didn't have to be done the way it's done, basically where it's being remodeled, you know, had enough pieces. And look, P, I understand where you're coming from, because a lot of us as fans thought that going into the season as well. I thought that the Raiders were going to end up about 10-6. You know, be competing for the AFC West title, because I thought, all right, well, with the players that are on the roster right now, all they need is some really good coaching, right? And that's it. Yeah, just some really good coaching, and boom, going to get over the top. The 2017 coaching staff was terrible. So now with John Gruden in house and, you know, all these coaches with a lot of experience, man, this team is going to be really, really good. I didn't know that he was going to basically strip it down to, you know, just a framework of a car just to, you know, tinker it, toy with it, and, you know, make it shiny and remodeled again. I didn't realize that that was what was going on. And again, I think I said maybe a couple weeks ago that now that I know that, it makes watching these games, it makes watching the outcomes, it just makes it a little bit easier. And it makes more sense that, you know, he moved on from Agent 52. It just does, you know, even though I still don't like it, but, I've already basically gotten over it, just kind of realized exactly what it is. I don't know, man. You're talking about Lane Kiffin, Art Shell, Mike White, all those coaches that were really, really bad. I don't know, man. I had no faith in those times, man. Lane Kiffin, I had no faith in the team then. Art Shell the second time, definitely didn't have any faith in that. That was a disaster. Mike White, I think he came out of the gates looking pretty good, but, you know, after that, that fell apart real quick. And yeah, there's been a ton of terrible coachings on the Raiders staff ever since Gruden left the first time. I mean, really, if you want to be honest about it, Jack Del Rio brought some more relevance to the team, got them back to, you know, where they were in 2016, and, you know, had some talent on the team, looked like the team was turning the corner. But besides that, man, there's been a bunch of terrible coaches, just awful coaches. So, yeah, I don't think that Gruden and company are headed in that area, the Lane Kiffin, the Art Shell, the second time, that area. But I understand where you're coming from. PE in North Carolina, always appreciate the call. My man Joe in Arizona, he's on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Hey, Q, it's Joe in Arizona. Hey, man, I've got it figured out. Derek Carr is the Raiders' Alex Smith. And what I mean by that is when Alex Smith was playing on the Chiefs, all Chiefs fans did was bitch and moan and bitch and moan when he was doing really bad. But as soon as he did anything good, they were right back on the Alex Smith bandwagon. Derek Carr is our Alex Smith. Not only that, too many damn Raiders fans are acting like Chiefs fans. We are a Raiders nation. We stick together. We don't bash each other. We don't rip each other apart. You know, Derek Carr is not like any of these other quarterbacks that we've had in the past that have just been garbage. You know, I think you call them scrubs. Yeah, we've had quite a bit of those. You know, from Jamarcus Russell all the way to any other godforsaken quarterback that should have never been on our field. But that's where it is. I figured it out. I'm tired of hearing the nation bash each other and rip each other apart and talk crap about how you're not a real fan, you're fake fans, whatever. Stop acting like a Chiefs fan, because we're better than that. We are one nation. We are Raider Nation. Peace out.
All right, so that's my man Joe in Arizona. He thinks he's got it figured out that Derek Carr is the Raiders' Alex Smith. You know, you heard earlier in segment number one, you heard Brian Nichols talk about Matt Ryan in 2015, and that's a comparison for Derek Carr. Well, Joe, he's talking about, you know, Alex Smith. And what he means by that is when Chiefs fans would complain and complain and complain about him when he wasn't doing well, and then all of a sudden the minute he did do something well, it's like, oh my gosh, Alex Smith is so great. You know, and that, I can understand where you're coming from with that. I will say, I think Alex Smith is a good quarterback. I really do. And I think Alex Smith could take you to, you know, get you into the playoffs and win you some games. I really do think that, you know, when he's on. Now, obviously, he's doing some kind of weird things, or he's got a weird situation going on in D.C. right now with the Redskins. But Raider Nation, we saw him as a Chief, man, and he always was able to find ways to win games. So, no, he's nothing flashy. He's not going to go down as a Hall of Famer or anything like that. But, you know, he's still a good quarterback. Still a really good quarterback. Been in the league for a long time. Really, I think that the minute that Jim Harbaugh got him in San Francisco and really got him turned around, I think his career really took off. So hopefully that's what John Gruden is going to do with Derek Carr, kind of turn him around and get him really, really going, get him really cooking with grease. I'd be okay with that. So, Joe, really good call right there. And a matter of fact, going to keep it in the state of Arizona and talk to my man, or hear from my man Mario in Tucson.
Q, Good podcast, man. What's up, Raider Nation? This is Mario in Tucson. Check it out. I see, you know, the Raiders have some serious deficiencies all over the field. Quarterback seems to still be kind of scattershot, doesn't seem to be able to get his mind right. I did see him try to run a few times, so that helps. But, you know, we need to figure out a way to get these balls to our receivers. Get the ball to the beast mode, man. He's got to get that ball. Gruden, you're overthinking the game plan, man. You're not going to beat anybody until you can set that run up. So set up the run. Get the pass going. Defense. Oh, my God, defense. Can we sack a quarterback? Can we affect the mind of the quarterback? Stop being so crazy on let's blitz here, let's blitz there, and then leave a spot open for them to throw to. We got to figure this thing out. Now, I said it before, I'm going to keep saying it. Every month we should try to go 3-1, and then we'll see where the record falls. But, you know, it's getting harder and harder to stay on that. So I just say, Raider Nation, Q, keep the faith. I'm still with them. So I haven't given up on them. I'm a Raider fan till I die. Raider Nation, I'm out.
All right, so there's Mario in Tucson. He said Raiders have issues all over the field. Carr has his mind all over the place. Get the ball to the wide receivers. Get the ball to Lynch. You know, obviously the run game sets up the pass game. Get those things going. You know, and then he also said defense needs to figure things out. The team could go 3-1 in the next four. He's still riding with them. He's still fired up. Raider Nation till he dies. I love that. And you know what's funny about this? As bad as the season is and as disappointed as everyone is by the way that the Raiders are playing, I mean, it's almost like Raider Nation is even getting closer. It's almost coming together even more, because at this time is when you really got to stand strong, stand by your brother and say, hey, man, things are going to be all right. You know, it's not looking good right now, but it will at some point. And hopefully that's what Raider Nation is doing. So Mario, definitely appreciate that call. Joe, P.E., Monster Mash, Vader Raider, Richard, and Brian Nichols, definitely appreciate all those calls on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. So that's going to do it for Thursday's edition. Great calls as always. You can keep those calls rolling. Rolling at 707-654-4693. Until next time, Raider Nation, just win, baby.